Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 2021 doesn't have quite the catchy thought as 2020. And many a church had thoughts of using that as a campaign or an evangelistic thought as we went into 2020. But obviously things changed. But 2021, as Tiny Tim said at the conclusion of A Christmas Carol, God bless us everyone. This past Christmas year, there seemed to be one verse that appeared on more Christmas cards and Christmas thoughts than any other. From 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. One card we received had it in a different version. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. And how many of you remember the credit card where they had priceless? It's his priceless gift. Pastor William Burroughs writes, quote, "This unspeakable gift is just that, a gift." Explanation point. A gift must be received. And so it is with the gift of salvation. It needs to be received. The problem is that in order to receive this gift, a person first must be presented with the gift. Unfortunately, over 2 billion people have not heard the gospel clearly. Though much has changed this past year, some things have not. And one thing that has not changed is the need for sinners to still be presented with the gift of salvation. Unquote. That unspeakable gift. Would you please stand with me if you're able? 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. And this is thanksworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to be here and to look into your holy word. And Lord, we know that you say that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we are glad that we have gathered, and you have promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be in the midst. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would move and touch hearts and protect us. I, as I speak, and these as they listen. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called. Peter to the stranger scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia says, hereunto were ye called. May I say this to you that live in Sterling Heights and Shelby and Utica and Troy and the surrounding areas, you have been called, if you know Christ as your Savior, for a distinct purpose. You have a reason to continue serving the Lord. And I'm going to read you some verses. Ephesians 2:10. For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. You were created unto Jesus for what? Good works. Does that say, oh, it's just for the pastor? Or the deacons? Or the ushers? Oh, we don't have ushers right now. But the fact is this, we are created for a purpose, for good works. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Are you looking for the return of Christ? Do you love the fact that Christ is returning? Notice, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. I'm glad it's for all iniquity. And purified unto himself a peculiar people. Didn't Peter say that we were peculiar? And Paul wrote to Titus and said that Christ was purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. Titus 2:13 and 14. Having your conscience honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Your good works. For even hereunto were ye called. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5:16. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We also notice here in verse 21, because Christ also suffered for us. Now, I know if I ask this question what your response will be. So I'll ask it and you won't have to say a thing. But does it bother you that Jesus Christ suffered for you? It does bother you, because I know it bothers me. I hate the fact that I am such a lousy sinner, and don't say, oh, pastor, you're not. Folks, I know who I am and I am a lousy sinner. In fact, you can say amen. But I am a lousy sinner. And you know what? I'm in a room with lousy sinners. Okay? And it bothers all of us that he had to die for us. And yet he did it willingly. Now, I don't understand why he was willing to do it. I don't know why he didn't say before the foundation of the world, you want me to do what for who? Are you kidding me? I mean, let me ask you a question. If you knew that when you were going, oh, where do you want to go? What restaurant do you want to go and pick up your meal for this afternoon? Name me one. Texas Roadhouse. Ribs at Texas Roadhouse. All in favor? Yes. Yes. But if you knew, if you went to Texas Roadhouse, and as you're parked there waiting for them to come out, that two people were going to come out, yank you out of the car, beat the snot out of you, rob you of every penny you have, and drive off in your car, would you do it? You'd say, are you crazy? And yet Jesus knew that he was going to be ministering for about 3 to 3.5 years. And at the end of that, they're going to take him. They're going to beat the snot out of him. They're going to plant a crown of thorns on his head. They're going to take him out to a hill and nail him to a cross and put him up there for everyone to mock. And he did what? He did it. And he knew what was coming. See, when he was sent to be that babe, before he was implanted within Mary, he knew what was coming and he did it anyways. Isn't that amazing? He suffered for you and you and you and me. He suffered. And guess what, folks? Notice what it says there in verse 21. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should what? Follow his steps. And that is not easy. Now, I don't know any one personally that has died for the cause of Christ. Do you? Do you know anyone who personally has been martyred for the faith? Now, when we supported the Bowens there in Ecuador, they were showing a Christian film, and a group of people led by one of the priests there in the city brought people with stones, and they threw stones at them. Now, that wouldn't be very pleasant, would it? No. That's as close as I know. I do know of a missionary where he and his family were at a McDonald's and in one of the South American cities. And as they were sitting there, armed bandits came in and robbed the McDonald's and came over to where they were sitting. And they had two daughters and they said, we should take these American girls. Now, what would you do if you were there sitting in McDonald's in a foreign country and there are gunmen with wanting to take your daughters? I don't know about you, but I know this. I'm going to die to save them. I'm going to die to save them. They said they don't know what happened, but all of a sudden they left. The armed gunmen just left. They said they don't know why. I think I know why. But I don't know too many people who have died for the cause of Christ. But folks, hundreds and thousands have. They have followed Jesus Christ in suffering for him. One of the key thoughts of 1 Peter is that the believer will suffer. And I think one of the reasons he knew that is from John chapter 15, if you would turn there. John chapter 15. Because he remembers Jesus talking. In John chapter 15, and we will begin reading at verse 18. Notice, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love you, or would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore, the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. You can turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. Our nation. And I love America. I love the red, white, and blue. But our nation is drifting away from biblical teaching. Our nation doesn't like our way of thinking. They are telling us that we are intolerant. They are telling us that we are narrow-minded. They are telling us you can say what you want within your own walls, but don't bring them outside. But the fact is, we are told to take it outside the walls. Because when we leave this building, we are entering the mission field. We are to follow him. Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. No sin. Can you imagine that? I think of that. That had to be the greatest miracle of all the ones that he did. When was the last time you went a day without sinning? Come on, when was the last time? A whole day. He lived a lifetime and didn't sin. No stinking thinking. No me first. He put others first, right? Yes. Knew no sin. No guile was found in his mouth. Verse 23 and 24, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Not long ago, I was listening to a husband as he wept over his very sick wife. And he said to her, and not for the first time in my hearing, I would take your illness. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Maybe a husband to a wife. Parents to children, I would take your sickness. You would do it for a loved one, right? How about for the dirty scoundrel that lives down the road? We find in the book of Romans, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, Christ was willing to die for all of us dirty scoundrels. For all the sins that we have. He who had no sin, he bare our sins in his own body. Romans 20:28 says, feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. He was willing to have his blood shed for you and for me. According to Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man gave his life a ransom for many. And here in verse 24 we find that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. Dead to sins. And yet, there are those who say, well, we're getting better. We are just better people than we were 500 years ago. Do you believe that for a moment? No, not for a moment. It's just more open today, but we've always been vile and wrong. It's just in our faces all the time today. But people have always stolen and killed, lied, and gossiped. They've always done it. Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, I'll be honest with you, and you probably would say the very same thing. If we could actually see people in hell, we'd act differently. Correct? If we could see people in hell. If God would open up hell and show us those people who are yelling and screaming in anguish and pain and begging for mercy, we would think differently. I believe this, that if our government really wanted to do away with abortion, they would show on television a partial birth abortion. And abortion would be ended tomorrow. If they showed it. If they showed it, it would change our minds. We would revolt against the abortion clinics. But they don't. We just read about it. But if God would be willing to just open up hell and show us for just a few seconds, and if you saw your loved one there, because probably most of us have a loved one there, don't you think it would change us? Don't you think we would become far more interested in seeing souls saved? I think we would. But the fact of the matter is men and women are dying and going to hell every day. How many will die in 2021? Thousands, right? It happens every year. How many of them are going to hell? If we read the Bible, we find that there are two ways to go. There are many that find the way to destruction and few that find the way to eternal life. And yet he was willing to die for us. As great as the birth of Christ was, it would have meant nothing if it were not for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? That if he had only come to earth and lived here for 30 plus years and then simply returned to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, we would die in our sins and spend eternity in hell. And that's what would have happened. And yet he was willing to come. Verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. For ye were as sheep going astray, lost and doomed and damned. And aren't you glad someone told you about Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that someone gave you the message and told you how you could be saved? I'm glad I was. I'm glad that as a young boy, I accepted Christ as my Savior. But now returned unto the shepherd. Conclusion. I got 3 points under the conclusion. Number one, our life. Our life. Our life is a life of sin. And God sets a high mark for entrance into heaven. No sin. That's the requirement to get into heaven, no sin. And you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have been justified, just as if you've never sinned. Do you remember a few years ago when here in the state of Michigan you had to have your car tested before you could get your license plates? Do you remember that? And you had to go, it was an emission, right, emissions test. And do you remember, it could not cost you more than $60. Do you remember that? If you couldn't spend more than $60. And you would go and get your test, and if you failed, they would tell you, go and drive around for a half hour and come back and be retested. Do you remember that? Some of you never had your car failed. Mine did all the time. And so I would drive around for a half hour. He would retest and he goes, nah, you still got a problem. And he would do something and it would come to a total of $60. And then I would drive on. And the state of Michigan was happy. That's not how you get into heaven. There's only one way to get into heaven. And it has nothing to do with us other than our faith. Sin keeps us all from heaven. And there's nothing we can do in our own strength that will allow us to get into heaven. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you know that. In fact, my conclusion, all of you could come up and preach. For the wages of sin is what? Death. See, I told you, you could come up and preach this. Yes. Our life is a life of sin. How about Jesus' life? Well, Jesus' life is a life of love. The Heavenly Father sent God the Son, Jesus, to die for us and to redeem us from the slave market of sin. He saw our need and he did something about it. That's why he could give the story of the Good Samaritan. He saw the need and he did something about it. As we read in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I say this? We may die for the cause of Christ, but our death will not get us into heaven. It won't. Other than the fact, if we're saved, we will go and live with him, but we're not going to go to heaven because we have died for Christ. We need to make sure that we have accepted him as our Savior. The Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let me ask you a question. You want to go to your favorite sports team's arena to watch them play. And I don't know how much it would cost to go see the Red Wings play or the Pistons play or the Detroit Lions. Don't they end their season today? But it's going to happen. We're going to be able to go back and watch them sometime. Will you go this year if you can? No? But let's say in a perfect world you could go. Well, okay, let's say in a natural world. And the ticket costs $45. Now, I don't know how much it costs to get into a sports arena today, but let's say it costs $45. Let's say you have $10 million in euros. $10 million in euros. That'd be a lot of money, wouldn't it? And you went up to the gate and said, I want to get in. I've got this money. And what are they going to say to you? Nope. But I got 10 million euros. We don't take euros. We don't even take Canadian money anymore. You have to have the right money, right? So you go to heaven. I've got all these good works. I've done good works by the thousands. Who's always at the gate and jokes? Peter, right? Yeah. I don't think Peter's at the gate, but somehow Peter's the gatekeeper and jokes. And you go before Peter and you show him all your good works. Is he going to let you into heaven because of all your good works? Is Gabriel going to let you into heaven because of all your good works? Michael? How about Jesus Christ? Is he going to let you into heaven because of all your good works? No? The world says that's what's going to happen. The world says, hey, a loving God's going to let you in. They're lying to us, aren't they? They're lying. Jesus loves us. This I know. How do I know? Well, the Bible tells me so. Yes. Eternal life. A life forever with God. Life in God's family begins the moment we ask Jesus to be our Savior. And we can never be plucked out of His protective care. We read in John 10:28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my life. So I end with a question. If you were to die in 2021, are you sure you'll spend eternity with God in heaven? Shall we stand together? 375 will be our song of invitation. Are you sure? Well, you say, I've been going to church all my life. That won't get you into heaven. You say, I've memorized large portions of the Word of God. That won't get you into heaven. Have you come to that conclusion that I am a sinner and I need Christ? I've known children that their parents went through the motions of salvation and were baptized, and they said, I want to be baptized too. And so they went through the motions, but they really didn't know what they were doing. That'd be kind of sad, wouldn't it? We need to make sure that we just didn't go through some motions. We need to make sure that we actually know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, as the invitation is given, we ask that the Holy Spirit would move and touch hearts. And Lord, we ask your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.